CliffCentral.com.
Trevor Gumby is in the house. How do you like them apples? Look at this man. Look at him. He's in all his glory.
Right.
You look like an athlete. You came in here this morning, looked like you're dressed for the Olympics or something.
Well, I'm dressed for gym because if I don't put on my gym clothes, I won't do it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm not allowed to use up the laundry basket much.
So we there save, are rules.
Yeah, because we save on the washing. So yeah. What you wear, you got to wear.
Right.
So the PJs get washed once a week. And then the clothes that you wear on that day, that's what you got to stay in. So if you make a mistake and you like laminate yourself, that's what you're going to be in. A thin film of protective gel.
Well, you look like you're made of, you know, that stuff that those people wear when they're working on the road late at night and those reflective jackets and shit. I mean, that is the brightest orange of all time. In fact, you can't even see it properly on the camera.
Is this orange? Is it not salmon?
Dude, it is like super orange.
L'orange.
It's so orange, it's burning my retina.
That's good.
It's definitely toned down on the camera.
Sure.
It's bright.
First thing on a Monday and I'm like struggling to like...
Well, I won't get hit by cars or garbage trucks.
No chance of that. So
I will attract the neighborhood dogs though.
How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm great. Thank you for calling me over, guys. It's
dude, are you joking? I've missed you. I said to Leanne, you are still one of my favorite people to have in the studio because you just let loose. And I
no, you didn't. You said he's off the handle, fucked in the head, craziest shit.
That's nice things to say.
Those are the best things.
Best compliments.
I only say those things about the people I like.
Good. Yeah. Good. And I appreciate it, Gareth. Thank you.
It's the least I can do.
It's better than people saying, oh, yeah, Trevor, he's so cordial.
Yeah.
Lime.
You've forgotten, obviously, how these mics work. Pull it up a little bit closer. There we go. Now we're talking. That's sexy.
All right.
So first of all, it's Monday and it's a full week of 5 days, which is really irritating because I was so into last week's 3-day week.
Mm.
You know?
That was good. Thank you, EFF and colonizers.
I know.
Just came together. It's just give us a 3-day week, you know.
Do it
colonizers
more.
Working hand in hand with the EFF. And they just gave us 3 days. Nice.
Well, I mean, we've got... Okay, so let's look at this because next Friday...
I just made a joke about the Sharpeville Massacre and you guys brushed it off.
Well, because
it's not your fault.
Because we know
you weren't there.
It's you.
Oh.
It's you. If it was anyone else who said that, I'd be like, oh, yes, and let's remember Human Rights Day. let's get into this.
Friday!
So we have a holiday on next Friday. So next week's only a 4-day week.
Oh, good.
And then the next week is also only a 4-day week.
Oh, now we start with all the Easter stuff.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And by the way, all that stupid bullshit of like April Fool's Day will start at the end of this week. But luckily, I hate it too. Oh. Thank God it is a Saturday that April Fool's Day happens. So you don't have to hear those dumb radio DJs telling you that a story in the news is real when it's such obvious nonsense.
And you'd think they wouldn't do that, you know, with all the April reshuffles. They'd be grateful to have their job still, you know, because they schmoozed up to the people on the 8th floor.
I heard we've got like a couple of people coming in the next while, some guests and so on the show. I heard some of them have been hired, fired. I don't know any of this stuff because I don't listen to radio anymore. So I'm only too happy to have them in to either bitch about being fired.
Yeah.
Or to express how grateful they are to their overlords that they were held in place, you know?
Exactly.
So how are your children?
And it's all ego driven, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally ego.
It is. Because the guys on the 8th floor, if you see them out at a function and you don't recognize or greet them in public, then it's like, oh, you coming up for.
That's exactly what happened to me.
I
met the SABC CEO because we had about 10 while I was there.
Right.
I met her at the JNB Met in Cape Town. Met her at the Met.
That'll do it.
No, and I didn't know. I'm like, hi, I'm Gareth. She's like, hi, I'm whatever. So yeah, nice to meet you. She's like, I'm the CEO of the SABC. So I said, oh, okay. Well, everyone in this room has been at least once. She didn't think that was funny. Anyway, she didn't fire me, but she could have if she was an absolute bitch. And I don't know what she's doing now. So maybe I lasted longer than her.
Maybe.
I mean, it is funny to hear, like the other day, I don't even know if I meant to talk about this, but Anele like messaged me out of the blue.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, don't you want to come on The Masked Singer?
Oh, not,
you know, she's a producer. Judge. I don't know what she wanted.
Well, I hope it wasn't as a competitor.
I would have said no anyway.
Okay. You know, so, I was going to say you would have given it away.
Of course I said no.
Straight away.
He does sing.
I can, but I wouldn't. Yeah,
you,
I
would. You won't.
So there are two reasons I'll do it. Either to make people laugh, and this could fit into that category.
Yeah.
Or for charity, which also could fit into this category.
Mm.
You would have to change your voice completely because it's too recognizable.
But I'm not going to do it anyway. I thought like, what? So
you would never get into a costume. You would swear the whole way through.
See, I would do the singing part if they could. If they could find to put on an outfit, I'm never going to do
no.
that.
No, you'll never do that. You'll swear the whole way
dress
through.
Dress up like a way. What do
they
dress?
You're like a ball of fun on Halloween.
I'm so not fun about these things.
No.
So I just said, nah, don't worry about it. It's cool. Thanks so much. We'll do breakfast or something one day.
I'd do it.
Would you,
I could sing.
I think you would.
I can't sing though.
You'd enjoy it though. You'd be really pleased to be doing something like that because you enjoy that shit. You like entertaining people. You like making people laugh and applaud.
Or feel awkward.
Or would you go, yeah.
No, just make people feel awkward.
Would you sing really badly or something?
Yeah. I'd bring alcohol onto the judging table and spike my fellow judge.
I wonder where that woman is.
Oh,
that Mara Lowe.
Didn't she pass?
No, she's still alive.
Oh, jeez.
She's still alive. So now you've just made it even worse. Now she's going to be drunk. Now she's going to phone you in a drunken stupor.
This is about me.
You don't do that again.
Yeah. Don't you love when like grown-ass adults can't take responsibility for their own lives?
I know.
Since you brought it up.
I know. I was watching Carte Blanche last night. And
who did you see?
Some lady who's a liquidator. They were talking about the story of the liquidator of Bosasa
who got shot.
Who got shot with
his son, yeah.
Yes. And a fellow liquidator from the liquidation company, some lady, phoned another liquidator talking about, yeah, it's not Bosasa, it's not the ANC, it's one of us, our liquidators, because...
Oh, wow, it's the liquidator competition.
Yeah, because now apparently the guy who got killed was working too efficiently and too fast.
Ooh.
And the liquidators make money off of keeping the case going for longer. And she was like, yeah, it's definitely one of us, because he's fucking around and doing things efficiently. And then they call her to come in. She's like, oh, sorry. It was, I was drunk.
That's
speak to my colleague, Johnny Walker.
So did they quote her? I mean, was she like recorded saying this?
Recorded.
Oh, wow. That's so heavy.
Recorded. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you got in that coffee? How many sugars?
Thank you. Oh, he put milk.
No
milk.
So racist.
Do you do sugar in your coffee?
There's
a reason I'm asking.
I don't do sugar. I put in sweetener of any kind. At home, I use xylitol.
So I don't know anything about this stuff. I've seen them sell like xylitol in a packet at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this, but Dr. Mark, he does this show on a Thursday here. He runs the T Clinic, which is like a men's health clinic to kind of help men have their erections for longer in life.
Ejaculate all over.
Just like super alpha men.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Good muscles and like big dicks and like, that sort of
the
shit.
The T Clinic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're hugely simplifying the work he does, but you know what I mean. So he says that he would rather have people put three sugars in their tea or coffee than drink sweetener. He says it's bad for you.
What about obesity?
Have you noticed any dick shrinkage? Is this what we
do? No, apparently it's carcinogenic whatever. Yeah. But I saw something recently about it's been disproved that it doesn't cause cancer.
It's been debunked.
Yeah. So, I mean, but you never know.
Do you like the taste? Because apparently it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same, but I'm doing it for health reasons. I'm diabetic.
But you're looking lean as hell.
Thank you.
So
thank you for noticing.
Have you been training with a trainer or are you doing it yourself?
I'm doing it by myself at home. I built a gym in a garage.
Look at you, dude.
Yeah.
He walks in here like an athlete. He's got these like, what do you call these pants? These tight gym pants.
Spandex.
Yeah. Walks in here looking like that.
I do work out with a personal trainer, Ika, But it's more like a friendly thing that he comes over and he
Is that an Eastern European name?
It's a black guy, actually. Oh, Ika. Yeah. Ika, yeah.
Sounds,
I-K-E-R.
Sounds like a Eastern European. Hello, we are going to train today. Are you ready? Trevor Gumby.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. His name's Ika. He's got this heavy Model C accent. He's on your ass is bit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I saw an ad yesterday for some takeaway place, and they had a black guy doing the voiceover, but he's also like that. And the price is $9.95. And I was like, that's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird.
But there's such a big population of that of those kind of people. And I would say in our history, as brief as it is, like you and I, Gareth, you must have experienced the first black guy at your primary school. I was the guy at my primary school.
So you were the first black guy at your primary school?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Parkview Primary.
Yeah. We had a couple of black kids in our school when I was at primary school. And
for me, it was only high school and we're the same age.
Yeah. But you were much more apartheid.
our area was, yes.
Is that a thing?
She was in the south of Joburg. So.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Just like hardcore. Orange Farm and then the rest of the world.
Yeah, so I'm still friends with a lot of guys from that. And I remember Nick Wilson. Nick Wilson, he told me that the day before I came, Mr. Eager, the principal, came into what would have been my homeroom. And he went to warn everybody. So,
there's a black guy coming.
So just
don't freak out.
Nick, he's going to be sharing a desk with you. So sorry if he smells.
No,
swear to God, we should.
Must have been the hardest thing you've. Yes, is it the hardest thing you've ever done?
No.
Is it the hardest?
You're talking to Trevor Gumby.
Was it the most impactful thing of your childhood?
I didn't know
years?
About the conversation.
Do you remember it
until later?
But do you remember the first day there and
feeling
like you were different?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Jeez. I remember the first day, but the kids were good. Yeah. You know, and
kids don't actually, unless their parents are total dicks.
Exactly.
Kids are not interested in that shit. They want to be friends. I see like my little nephews now who are 8 and 6, could be 9 and 6. I better check.
She's great uncle.
I know. Anyway, they have everybody at their birthdays. They go to all the birthdays. It's all mixed up. It's like those ads that you see on TV.
Exactly.
All the kids play. It's really
ads are coming true now.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about stuff.
Thank you, Dunlop, for foreseeing this.
They don't even notice. Like, you know, my brother and sister-in-law have said to me, we mustn't like make a thing about it if we talk about that person who's black or white or whatever.
Because
the kids don't even take note of it. They're like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Because they're not thinking about it that way.
You got to describe kids differently.
But isn't that awesome? It's only been like 20 odd years. And look at how much it's improved.
It's brilliant.
Right?
It's brilliant.
How are your children?
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Much better. Much better.
What, there was something wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. We had been in counseling because trauma counseling because eldest.
I do remember this.
Yeah. Yeah. The eldest best friend. Got stabbed to death at a club near your old studio. We were getting over that.
Jeez,
and, we're still hoping for justice for Trumpo. Hopefully our courts do the right thing, you know.
Takes so long though. Takes so long.
It does.
You kind of wish for those days when like the community.
Wait, hold on. Think about what you were.
Days in the community would just gather around someone and just like tread them to pieces.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Mob justice. Yeah. Because people get so frustrated.
They do.
And it's mob justice is because our government and our judiciary has failed us so much that people want to take things into their own hands.
Yes.
And then it gets an even worse image because of people who during the incident of mob justice, take it upon themselves to loot and steal.
Mm-hmm.
That is another section of it. It's not people looking for justice. It's opportunists within the crowd.
Well, I mean, someone said the other day that if we at least saw some of these crooks going to jail, then maybe we would feel like things were more or less under control. There was a system. But I think people see this stuff. Jeez, you, dude, I had David Crow in here the other day.
Oh, sorry, man.
Yeah. he was very funny, but he was moaning like, you know, those political pundits you see on TV. Nah. And then the week after that, we had Barry Hilton and he was moaning.
Hmm.
And then I had a TikToker in on Friday, this guy called, Prev Naidu. Yeah. And he was in and he was laughing because he's like, he doesn't care about any of that political stuff
nice.
At all. But I do think it's amazing. This guy's like sold out, venues like Emperor's, the State Theater.
Who, and Prev?
He's a TikTok. He's brilliant though. I mean,
really?
He puts on a wig and like does his mom's, antics. Yeah. And you've seen him, right? I think, no, it's Prev Reddy. It's Prev Reddy. Anyway, no, Naidu Reddy, Moonsami.
You know,
it's
oh like,
it's like, yeah, we never Kumbi, know.
Kumbi, Shabalala, Kumete, you know,
yeah.
Cliff Moll. Who can keep all of this?
There's so many Naidus because we don't know who Naidu.
But dude, it is hilarious that this guy, I mean, not hilarious, it's fantastic from his point of view, but like, you know how, what it takes to sell out these venues, right?
Mm.
And these days, these guys can have their pick because comedians are, there's no Parkers anymore or shit like that, right? So where do comedians go that have to do either a big crowd, which let's face it, big names like you and David and so on, you can sell those places out.
But
this guy's on TikTok and he's punching at that height. You know, it's not a bad display of how things have changed.
It's quite something that you notice that the older guys like Barry and David were moaning in here and the TikToker was in a positive light. Yeah. And I think it comes down to resistance to change. You know, things are changing and things are working on algorithms and these younger guys they've gotten it right, you know. They Absolutely. Know how to engage with people and that's what people want. You know, we'll sit back and moan, you know, people aren't buying my tickets to the Barnyard Theater anymore because nobody wants to go there.
I do want to be fair, like neither David nor Barry were moaning about that. They were moaning about like, oh, the water and electricity. So they were like, David was especially like scathing about politics.
Right.
But they also older guys, like we're older now and we moan about stuff. That's what we do.
Right.
I try my best not to be a misery, but like some days and it's an effect of like all the stuff that's happening around you. But sometimes you're just not on form.
Yeah.
You just want to fight and argue and be grumpy.
Mm.
It happens to me. You've seen
I find that I'm grumpy lately.
What are you grumpy about?
Now I've quit liquor again. Okay. I'm on, what's the date today?
28th.
Oh, 27th. Okay. So I'm on 5 months and 20 days.
Jeez.
Right?
Without liquor. Wow.
And I'm still at the grumpy phase. Like, oh, fuck, I hate everything. Oh, yeah. I just need a break from this.
Everything takes longer. Hangovers last longer. Yeah? Grumpiness lasts longer.
The cricking in my knees.
I had to take anti-inflammatories just that I knew I could walk from the car to the studio this morning.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I had to take Cataflam.
This is a much bigger studio, much bigger place as well.
Jeez.
Does anybody live here like on the sly? I would live here if I worked
it's,
here.
It's no one really would know. Nice. There's an executive suite that we can rent out to like guests who come in from Cape Town or overseas. Oh yeah, this place is. I'll show you around later. It's wild.
Well, listen, if my hips are pretty like particularly bad, I might have to come here the night before when sleep over.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then you can wheel me in.
We'll just wheel you in.
And it's such a great address.
So I know. I mean, how perfect is the you're in the middle of Sandton. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Popeyes?
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. This is all Popeyes across the
Has
road.
Has anybody ever had Popeyes?
No, not yet.
No, the first
is it staying in business? It's like those Turkish rug places.
Oh, you mean they look like they could be a front?
Oh, really?
Listen, we're coming from Rivonia. In Rivonia, all the businesses are a front for some Chinese money from somewhere because none of those shops have any customers any time of day, but they're all still running.
True.
Never thought about that?
The sandwich baron and...
No, that's still fine. I'm talking about those Chinese shops inside the center, down at the bottom there.
Yeah.
There's like these three shops. They all sell the same stuff.
That's like a whole mixture of stuff.
Yeah, like children's party stuff and like
underwear,
ceramics,
and
everything.
Ottomans.
And then curtain stuff. And you're like...
So this underworld stuff has been happening for a very long time, okay? and is only coming to the fore now with investigative journalists who aren't affiliated to any super powerful, wealthy people. Like that ground up thing found a guy who claimed to have been burnt to death in a cell out.
That was in the news now, like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
It's crazy. It's like a movie.
And did you see there's this one dude who's like a diamond dealer or something? This was also in the news this weekend. Huh. He's Liebenberg or something. And he is like the one who's sponsored Carl Niehaus's holiday, and he pays for some EFF stuff. And you're like, why is this guy doing that?
Huh.
Why is he like giving the EFF millions of rands and paying for, I mean, Carl Niehaus has got to be the most unpopular politician in the whole world.
So what power does he wield?
I don't know. I mean, he must be getting something back, right? He wouldn't just be doing this because Carl's a nice guy.
Huh.
It does boggle my mind when you hear these stories.
I think about these underworld. You've got to be like math smart.
But also like, just like street smart. I'm not, when I hear about these people embezzling money and making all these complicated deals, I know I couldn't be a criminal.
Yes.
Because that's the stuff that I read about and I'm surprised about. It doesn't make logical sense to me. Yeah. It's not like I wake up and think, oh, well, today I need to do this and embezzle person to do that and make money.
I would say I'm street smart, but I'm not math smart like an actuary. So I don't know the first thing about money laundering. And it seems to be a lot of money laundering happening because there's also an Al Jazeera thing.
Yes.
With gold and Dubai and
these guys are,
Zimbabwe.
They're so good at it.
How? I don't know how to embezzle money because I buy something. I go to an expensive nightclub in Sandton and I buy something. How have I embezzled? Because they gave me what I, confusing.
These people who can launder money through a business. Now, I mean, it's really got to be big, big money, and there's got to be stuff there that you have to be a smart maths person.
Mm.
I'm not, you know, I have to use my calculator.
We don't even know what date
I have to use my calculator to figure out like 10% of.
Yeah.
So
10% should be easy for me to calculate, but anyway, Lungile says here, I never thought I'd hear the day when Trevor Gumbi warns Gareth to think carefully about what he wants to say.
That was funny. Thanks, Lungile. Yeah.
So, all right. Dude, what's been going down? I mean, like what's happening with you? I mean,
what has been happening?
Yeah, fill us in because it's been a little while. We haven't caught up for some time.
Oh, so I'm very happy. I'm married again. You know that,
that's
right?
Excellent. Yes.
The new wife.
Wow. Yes. Mazel new one.
Tov. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We celebrated 3 years on Saturday.
That's fantastic. And listen, you guys got married at COVID time.
The day before the hard lockdown started.
Right.
We got married the day before. And then we were
That's a hell of a stress test for a
relationship.
It's a bit
of a strain on the beginning of a marriage.
Pressure.
But not a strain on my bank accounts because no honeymoon trip.
That's true. That's true. You could just say,
well, look outside. There's cops. And,
possible.
Have you done it since? Something.
You shut your dirty mouth because she's listening.
All right. Well, this is very exciting.
Yeah, I know. So Saturday, I was very excited. We made it to 3 years. It was our anniversary. And I had bought her gift a month ago and hid it in the house. I hid it very well. And I got it out for her Saturday morning, gave it to her. It was all very nice. Yeah.
But now you can't drink because you've been 5 months sober. So.
That's the thing. I'm experiencing new things. I'll talk to you about that just now.
All right.
So then I buy her that and then she's like, oh, thank you. Then I'm like,
oh, you didn't get a. No.
Then she says, I'll get your gift later. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. I go sulk in the lounge watching UNCA and she comes out after having showered and says, okay, bye. I'm going to wax. I'm like, oh, now I know what I'm getting.
That's very good. Well, that, I mean, that's a loving wife.
No, but she did actually get me something. She got me a nice pair of expensive jeans and I'm very happy because it's on my wish list.
All right, so are we saving this discussion around the new things you're experiencing for the psychologist, or are we going to have this conversation now?
No, we can have it now.
Because we got Dr. Hanan coming in like 15 minutes.
A hack!
Go on.
I say that because your producer called me and I was like, you need to get topics for...
No. We wanted to know if there was anything. We just assumed in your case there would be.
awful.
All right. So what's the story with the new experiences now that you're not drinking?
So, I think it's a way that I'm keeping myself motivated off of liquor, but I've realized that, so I stopped on the 7th of November. My birthday is on the 23rd of November. I thought it was going to be a huge thing for me not drinking on my birthday. But then I realized I've not had a sober birthday for close to 25 years, 25 years more.
Wow.
Never had a sober birthday in 25 years. So I'm like, oh, okay, let me try it. I did it. Wasn't so bad. Then I was like, okay, December's coming up. It's the festive season. Yeah. My entire family from Umtata on my wife's side is coming up to our new house and they're going to be here and it's going to be fun. And what we do is always drink. Then I realized I've never had a sober Christmas or sober Boxing Day or sober New Year's in 25 years. Let me try it. And that has been happening. So like this marriage anniversary, I've never had a sober marriage anniversary ever. So I tried.
It's like a first for everything.
Yes, because I know how it ends every time. You know, I go to a shisanyama, I'm like, let me drink. I'm like, should I drink? How does that end? Oh, yes, I know how that ends. But I don't know how it ends if I'm sober. So that keeps me motivated.
Do you, because I'm listening to you now, and there are a couple of people I know who've just decided to not get drunk anymore. They're like, I'm not drinking. I'm not going to be doing this.
Oh, there's a way of not getting drunk. You can drink and not get drunk.
Well, but
just
even
drink
even,
and have a line.
So a lot
sobers you up so well.
So a lot of these people, like friends of mine who, you know, have been like people I've been drinking with for years. And then some of them say they're not drinking anymore and they stick to it. And I'm almost at the point where I could be convinced to do the same. Like I almost want to try it just for the experience part of it. Give it a couple of months, weeks, whatever it is, because I'm not going to be a Nazi. I'm not doing it for health reasons or because I'm trying to get away from something. And
but you know, there are people who can drink and it's not a problem.
Yeah, I think I've been one of those. But you've seen me drinking. I'm never a messy,
not sloppy.
Yeah, but I think I could even tidy up a bit more. You know, it's that. I read the most interesting thing over the weekend. I want to hear your thoughts on this, Trevor, and yours, Leanne, because even though it's to do with men, the thing is. This guy put an article together about why men are attracted to danger. And it's basically about how guys, if their job is too safe and their family and their marriage is too safe and their friends are too safe, they actively seek danger. Like a lot of guys.
White people.
No, a lot of guys, a lot of guys.
I was thinking of like those places in America where you can fling axes and you can like bash cars.
The rage rooms.
Like rage rooms.
But this is not about like acting out. It's, it's that you actually have this craving because life has become obviously places like Ukraine. It's not in Congo or whatever, but here and in much of the world now, it's become soft to be a guy. And even though that's something we should aspire to, it's something good. We don't want to put ourselves in danger. Deep down inside, though, there's a part of you that goes, I need a bit.
But also the dangers are different now, aren't they? The type of danger that you sense is
lifestyle audits.
Lifestyle. No, but lifestyle in general. Like the COVID crisis, for instance. Like battling. No, but dangerous to your livelihood and looking after your family because you may have lost your job or you couldn't perform in comedy or, you know, your restaurant shut down. There's more of that, like an economic threat to your family, danger, having your job.
It's not the same. The article was about how physical danger makes a guy feel like he's got a job to do.
Purpose, yeah.
He's got something real happening in his. I mean, it might not be true for everybody, but certainly the gist of this thing was you have to have a little bit of adrenaline going on, whether it's doing things like rage rooms or bungee jumping or whatever else, if that gives you enough of a thrill, cool.
But I think it's an economic thing.
It could.
And I'm saying economic thing because I don't want to say it's a white thing. It's people who don't live in constant danger. Like you live in the suburbs, you don't live in a dangerous location. So you will go bungee jumping. Not many black people go bungee jumping. So let's say economics. Not many well off or middle class people.
Yeah, I think it's a class thing. I think it ceased to be a race thing because you could see also, look, it hasn't ceased. I mean, obviously there's still more black people living in like really awful situations than there are white, but you know, there are There are these middle class, right. These middle class people who's all over the world. We're not just talking about here. We're talking about in North America and Europe and Asia and everywhere. These guys are seeking out this danger and they're doing dumb shit to create trouble because subconsciously they crave the danger. So they'll go out and like try and pick up a hooker or they'll go out and
drug thing.
Do drugs or they'll, you know, and they'll put huge things in their life in jeopardy.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they want to live on that edge.
Yeah. Like self-sabotaging almost.
Yeah. There's a TikTok guy who at a place like Bounce in America, I think, goes on the trampolines and throws off weights, like gym weights.
Mm. Oh,
and he bounces with them and they might hit him or might not hit him.
Oh, God.
You know? So yes, I think you both are right. It is a danger with economics, with losing your job and being able to provide. And it also is a class thing. These people, they live it safe. They've got everything safe. So they put themselves in jeopardy to feel a thrill of, well, what if I lose it?
Dumi says here, I fully agree with this, Gareth. I have to do something wild and out of my comfort zone regularly because life is just too predictable. Mountain biking, bungee, free falling, anything to do with danger makes me feel alive.
Oh my God. How did you figure out the MTB so quickly to be mountain biking?
Because it's mountain biking.
Yeah, but it's MTB. I would not have thought of that.
Mm. I love this. Somebody had a comment for you here. They say, it's famous mama. She says, well done. I'm so proud of you. I don't drink anymore either for the last 2 years. I'm just enjoying life. Not for any reasons. It's a choice just to do and be better. You see, Jared says the worst is when you go to a party where people are super drunk and you're sober. Oh, it's very off-putting.
It's horrible.
Exactly.
Especially if you have like social anxiety. It's horrible.
Have you been to parties like that before?
Yes.
So what do you do? Because I don't know what to do at
people
a party.
People are so irritating because I don't, when it's like that.
I don't dance.
Yeah.
I don't I don't want to get into heavy conversations with everybody all the time. You go and you have drinks together. That's exactly what we do as South
That
Africans.
Was my party
so
trick.
So what do you do?
The amount of drinks I have was my party trick.
What do you do at a party?
Be awkward and miserable.
Really? And it's shit.
Remember, I stopped in November and then I had family over at my house in December and everyone was drinking copious amounts of liquor. And I didn't know how to handle it then. I was too fresh into it and I was still battling my own addictions at the time and my own triggers.
What did you do?
Triggers.
Did you sit and watch them?
I had to. Because when I go to my room, then people notice, oh, he's not here. Somebody get you.
No. And that's the worst because if you're out somewhere, you can make an excuse and go home.
Yeah.
But when it's in your own home, I remember living in a complex was when I first got married and we all knew each other and we were all friends. And
cool.
When
you and the partner. Of course you know each other.
Yeah, I knew my husband at the time. But if we went out, if I was on a non-drinking spree and I left the party at whoever's house within the complex and I go home, people would come and knock on the door. Come on, Leanne, come back to the party.
No.
That feeling where you've – and I remember at one stage barricading the door with like – oh, chairs and things.
What kind of like hard drinking friends did you have?
Well, yeah. Like it was my husband and my friends at the time.
It wasn't only liquor. Come on.
Shame
the devil.
No, you're right. Other things were going on, but I actually didn't know at the stage. But that you just want to retreat and get away from people like that when you're sober.
You know, even at parties where I'm the host, if I've had enough, I just go to bed.
Yeah, I tried that. Yeah.
I just go to bed. Mm. I mean, I'm not inviting people who are like animals. So I know that they'll mostly look after the place.
Yeah.
Plus, they're not going to last that much longer.
Yeah.
Because it's like, now it's time. I'll go to sleep. Uh-huh. Don't feel bad about that at all.
That's presuming they're going to stay at your place, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I try as well. But then I've still got anxiety from when I did that the last time. In Chartwell, we had a farm in Chartwell. That's when we had a home invasion.
Mm.
And I was in bed when the guys came in.
Mm.
So I stay in bed and I'm like thinking, oh shit, what's happening? Then I have to go check the cameras.
Yeah.
Like, and then everything's black and white. So you gotta look carefully. Earmuffs help. when you're around drunk people, because the slurring is not only audio. it's actual saliva flinging into
it.
And everyone wants to speak so close. Yeah, and it's loud, but they're whispering. Now come here. Yo, Leanne. Yo. Don't tell him, but Joshua.
About three weeks ago, there was a guy talking to me here like this.
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst thing because you sort of turn your head. Uh-huh. Now you don't want them spraying the saliva directly into your face.
Yeah.
So you'd rather have it hit the side of your head in case you don't want to go in your mouth and your nose,
your eyes.
And your eyes. So you turn and then afterwards you can wipe your ear and it would be like, oh God, it's disgusting. Aren't these people aware of
it? And why is it awkward though for you, the spitz ear, the person who's been spat on, why is it awkward for you to wipe it off?
Well,
because you kind of leave it there.
Yeah, why?
You can feel it there and you just don't do anything about it.
Why?
Jesus.
Gareth's the type of person to wipe it off and say,
I would definitely.
And say, please don't spit on me again. That's his personality.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, normal humans, we just.
We sit there and hope that it evaporates.
Yeah, like a mouth bukkake.
Oh, people wanted to call. You can phone us, by the way. We are taking live calls. So if you want to do that, you can hit us on 0832955769. We had to put a 69 at the end of that. People
you
love
got, it. I'm going to ignore that because you guys ignored my bukkake comments. Like,
are you getting nervous? This is the second time you've said you didn't respond to a joke the way that you wanted us to. Is this a sober man thing?
I think so.
Because the drunk Trevor never gave a shit.
Fucking care. Oh, where?
Oh, my God. All right. So they're asking for the number 0832955769. Go on.
There's somebody having a meltdown on my WhatsApp group.
Why?
I've got a neighborhood WhatsApp group. I live in a proper suburb now. And it's like I got there and they gave me like that – what do you call that puffy jacket?
I know the ones you mean. I got mine at Uniqlo, so I call it my Uniqlo.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, whether you buy it at whatever shop. So those things are filled with like goose down or whatever.
Yeah.
Make you look like the Michelin man. Wear and everything. Yes.
So we've got a WhatsApp group. It's mostly security and whatnot. And this one guy's having a total meltdown because his electricity's been out for 24 hours because we had a tree fall. Pull out cables and he's like, I'm the only one. It's like, my power's not back. And like, okay, we've told the ward counselor. Ward counselor has told City Power, and that's as much as we can do.
By the way, can I just point out how fantastic that is?
What?
Because that you've got a WhatsApp group. Now, I hate them as much as everybody does, but we've also got one in our neighborhood, and the ward counselor's on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've never been so accountable.
No.
In their lives.
Like, I actually feel sorry for them.
We didn't know who our ward counselors were before.
Yeah.
And also, if we did, we didn't know where they lived. We didn't know how to get to them. We didn't know. Write a letter?
Write a letter to the newspaper.
I mean,
phone a journalist.
Now you can actually say to your ward counselor.
The Santon Chronicle.
Yeah.
But isn't that cool?
It is cool.
It is.
That's just stock of how great that is.
They're being called out when they're.
Yes.
Like, people will say. They know this person's on the group. Like, say his name's Tony, and they'll say, well, you know, can't rely on Tony these days.
Poor Tony.
Yeah.
By the way, Yonder's got a problem with me. He says, Gareth, you missed the Naidu joke as well. Trevor, you must now start a new thing to stop drinking. Stop thinking about having a drink.
Ah, okay. Yonder and Diki.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy.
Oh, you know him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, a lot of these people also talking about how they miss you doing your show that you used to do here, which is still.
I miss that show too.
That was the wildest thing ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
We got to figure out a way of getting me back on doing something.
Well,
maybe weekly.
We can talk about that for sure. Yonder says, since you stopped drinking, your voice is sounding feminine.
You shut your dirty mouth, Yonder. I do this on purpose.
It's so great. Some of us have not had power for the last 4 days, says Hardy Dave. He says, others have had no water for a week. Some others have lost their homes due to flooding. Mm. Woe is me.
Crazy out there, folks. It really is.
Stupid weather, raining.
Well, it was so weird on Saturday it rained.
It's not supposed to be raining right now. It's like storming and flooding.
What do you mean it's not supposed to be raining? It's
supposed to be autumn.
What?
Is there something you know that I'm pretty sure it rained at Easter last year.
Really?
I think so, but you are right. Like normally this wouldn't be the thing that we do.
No, it's supposed to start drying up now. Rain.
Huh. All right. Well, if we're starting to talk about the weather, we need to get ready for Dr. Hanan because that's a bad sign.
Why? Why is that a bad sign? You're such a radio Nazi.
Talk about the weather? You really want to talk about the weather?
No.
Okay. Let me show you this quickly before we get to Dr. Hanan. In medieval Spain, bankers who became bankrupt were publicly disgraced by town authorities and even given nothing but bread and water to eat until the creditors were paid off. After a year, if bankers failed to pay, they would be beheaded and their property would be sold off to pay them. Now, isn't that a great idea?
Whew.
I'm just thinking with the Silicon Valley Bank thing that happened in America. And if you think about bankers in this country, if a bank goes under now, the government gives them money. I reckon we should go back to this. Behead them and sell their shit to the people who they owe money to.
Wow.
Don't you think?
No, bankers are actually quite soft. They are soft people. Don't take it because they ride Harleys on a Sunday that they're hardcore. No, they're just a bunch of soft accountants who can afford a Harley. Don't do that.
It's some stuff we can bring back. I want to see bankers held to account too, not just the petty criminals. Like you get arrested for like dealing in weed or whatever. Those guys always go to jail. The bankers don't.
No, I don't understand much about it for me to have an opinion. Like, what is Silicon Valley? I understand it's a geographical place, but why is it called Silicon Valley? Does it have to do with breast augmentation?
No, that's silicone. Silicon is the element on the periodic table. Silicone is the stuff they use for breast augmentation.
Yeah, but you don't need to rub your chest doing it.
Yeah, he's rubbing his titties.
Yeah, I know. That was too much. What a graphic description. I don't sign up for this.
Have I put you off so early in the morning?
If anything, came to see Gareth rub his titties this morning.
I'm so aroused.
Silicone has got an E at the end of it. That is the stuff they use to fill fake titties. Silicon is the element on the periodic table they make microchips out of. And the reason it's called Silicon Valley is because that is the place where Hewlett-Packard, the computer company, first opened their business. They were at Stanford, Hewlett and Packard opened their business. And the place where their head office was called Silicon Valley. So that's where the whole name comes from. And Silicon Valley Bank is named after that.
Okay.
So it's like a long chain of causality. But there we go. That's how it works.
I want you on my 30 seconds team.
Pub quiz for the win.
But I get so competitive.
Do you?
I'm no fun at all. You don't want to play any of those games with me. Huh. I get furious if I don't win. And if the teammate lets me down, I'm like, no, you fucking idiot.
They say don't play with your partner.
Mm. Yeah. You should not do that. Speaking of they say, we've got Dr. Hanan here, who is our live-in psychologist, who also – one who gives us the right info to start our week. Because, you know, Dr. Hanan, I saw the most brilliant thing on, I think it was South Park, where this doctor goes up to these kids and he goes, "Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Whoever, and I have a foolproof way to get kids who have ADHD to stop having ADHD without giving them medicine." And he goes and he hits them on the head and says, "Do your work!" Everybody's got mental health issues these days. Yeah, this is why we've got to have you on. All right, so listen, Trevor said he has something he needs to discuss with you, but that wasn't the agenda. I mean, is there something you want to bring up with him?
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Hanan. How are you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. I love your fake book thing behind you. Makes you look quite well-read. So... I want to talk about escapism because I feel like the belief structures that we have are there to keep us away from our current reality, like belief structures from religion to conspiracy theories, like there is a better life after this, like heaven in Christianity, or... I think it's Hinduism with the reincarnation thing. Like, you'll have another chance at this. Or people who believe that we are here on a prison colony serving out a sentence dished out to us by our lizard overlords. What is it about living here on Earth in reality that we need to escape so much by having these belief structures.
I'm guessing that you think it's all bullshit.
I do.
Okay.
I don't like reality, and I'm trying to figure out why do I daydream so much
about
a better existence.
What do you think that is, Doc? Because I don't think he's alone. I think there are a lot of people who feel this way.
So, guys, it's a good question, and it reminds me of a really great story by, I don't know if you've heard of the philosopher 300 years ago by the name of Immanuel Kant. And Immanuel Kant was asked by one of...
Yeah.
Yeah, K-A-N-T. Right. And it's an interesting one because he was asked by one of his disciples 300 years ago, what's the role of a philosopher? And he gave a very famous cave metaphor. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the cave metaphor, but this is how it works. He said, imagine people tied to a cave wall. Their heads are bound, their hands are bound. The only thing they can see is the wall in front of them. Behind them, there's a hole in the wall and a fire going on. So the only thing that the people can see, the ones that are bound on the wall, the only thing that they can see are the shadows of the real world reflected in front of them. So they're seeing shadows going back and forth and back and forth. And because that's the only thing that they've been exposed to, they think the shadows are real. And he said the role of the philosopher is to unshackle these people, make them look behind them and see the real world. But he said something quite interesting. He said, the moment you try to unshackle these people, they will refuse. People want to believe what they want to believe. They don't want to be complicated by anything, whether it's real or unreal. They just want to go back to familiarity. He also said, the moment you force people to look behind them, and they will burn you at the stake. Because again, if you force people to believe something more complicated than their real beliefs, they will absolutely rebel and they will burn you at the stake. And 300 years ago, they did that. But he also said that if you make people look long enough at the real world, they could never go back to believing the shadows are real. Now, the reason why I'm sharing that with you is because we all have belief structures that makes our world make sense to us. And the truth is, if you try to convince people, whether it's the truth or ill truth, what is the truth? What do you know that nobody else knows that is fact? The reality is that people want to make sense of their world in a way that allows them to function in reality, in a way that makes them functional. It makes them feel safe. It makes them feel secure. So to answer your question, yes, people create belief structures. We all have shadows. We all believe that our shadows are real. You walk into the world and you have your shadows to believe in, and you watch that and you think that's real, and that's great because it makes sense to you. The moment your shadows no longer make sense to you, that is when it is your job to unshackle yourself and look at a different belief system that makes sense to you, and you're able to justify your existence and make meaning and purpose in what you're seeing in front of you.
All right, so Doc, on this topic, because I mean, I've got lots of friends who've been doing, you know, mushroom trips and ketamine infusions and ayahuasca and whatever it is, because they want to escape looking at the cave wall. They want to see things from a different point of view. And they think sometimes substances are going to allow them to do this. And it might be substances. It might be practices like meditation or whatever. But Trevor's question's not coming out of nowhere. I mean, Leanne still believes in the tooth fairy, for heaven's sake. What is the best way to get yourself to come face to face with reality and then move forward positively? Because, I mean, you don't want to be one of those people who's stuck looking at the cave wall, believing in the shadows. And you also don't want to be one of those people who burns other people at the stake because they're trying to show you another way.
Yeah. But you know what, Gareth, who doesn't believe the shadows are real? You know, you've got your shadows. I've got my shadows. Trevor, Leanne, you got your shadows. And the moment it makes sense to you, the moment you can go to bed at night and go, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, I find meaning in my existence, then go ahead and believe that the tooth fairy is real. So I don't have any issues somebody saying to me, I believe what I believe, as long as it doesn't affect, you know, I'm a great believer of live and let live. If your beliefs make sense to you and you're able to make sense and meaning of that, that is your belief. But the moment You go to bed and in your naked self, say to yourself, I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. Something is missing. Then don't bullshit yourself into believing that the shadows are real. I always tell people, subordinate your ego. Don't allow your ego and the cut my nose to spite my face story to make you believe the shadows are real just for the sake of believing that that's true at the expense of your own happiness. If you're happy, obviously whatever you're believing is wonderful. And if you're not, obviously start to question it and challenge that.
So what do you think of that answer?
Oh, I love it. I love it. That naked state thing, it makes total sense to me. Besides the fact that doctor doesn't afford pajamas, he sleeps naked. It makes sense that when it starts to consume you that much, that's the problem, you know? So if I'm getting you right, doctor, it's have your belief system, but once it starts affecting you in a negative way and affecting people around you in a negative way, that's the problem. Like when people say, oh, what do you call people who don't believe in anything?
Atheists.
Yeah. Atheists are the ones who want to tell everybody, I don't believe in anything. But that in itself is a belief that you have to tell everybody, I don't believe in anything.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you, Doc. That makes total sense to me because I realize now why so many people enjoy things like The Matrix, because it's an escape from what we are. And for an hour and a half, it gives you an escape to say this is not real, you know.
But I mean, you've drawn on the Matrix comparison, which I hear people using a lot these days. You know, oh, that person's so much in the Matrix or whatever. But
who are you talking to?
It is a movie. I mean, like the fact is also movies are a kind of escapism, and for some people, it's playing games. You know, some people like playing video games all day because it gives them an escapism.
Either an escapism or numbing. And speaking of alcohol, that's a big thing as well. When you just don't want to think about it.
You're going to point at me when you speak about alcohol, Leanne? Is that what we're going to do?
That's actually where your spirit is. Me and you
6
thing.
6 o'clock on a Monday morning, that's where your spirit is. Nice.
Trust me, I'm including myself in the category.
All right, but Doc, is it true that those are all forms of escapism and that they're all equally good and bad depending on how you approach them?
You know, I had an interesting conversation with a patient of mine on Friday. We were talking about ChatGPT,
and he said to me, "Privacy."
I'm not mentioning names.
Oh. All right, go.
So he or she said they will not use ChatGPT because it feels like cheating. And I said to this person that, you know, we have a lot of resources in front of us. And you should use whatever resource you have in front of you to make you better. I used coffee and I was drinking a cup of coffee at the time. And I said, I'm using coffee to make me better. We sometimes use movies to lift our moods and make ourselves better. So my point to you is if whatever the resource in front of you is there, is available to you to make you better, not at the cost of your other anchors, which I'll highlight in a second, then use it. Go for it. Don't shy away from it. Nobody wins a prize at the end of their lives going, I did it on my own. Nobody does it on their own. Even if you do, you don't want to win a prize for it. Use your resources to make you better. And Trevor, to your point, in life we have eight anchors, eight pillars that you must consider when you make your decisions. Your career, which is your sense of purpose, your financial security, your family, your friends, your romantic partner, diet, exercise, and sleep, which is your health. These eight pillars must be considered when you make a decision. So we were talking about fat shaming last week, guys, and we were saying that it's not just you that needs to make a decision. Well, you know, like a lot of people say, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. If I want to drink, I can drink. If I want to smoke, I can smoke. If I want to eat nonsense, I can eat rubbish. It's my life. Leave me alone. But no, it's not your life. You live in a community of people, and your behavior and your decisions has an impact on other people. You're not just responsible for you and you alone. You're responsible for the community that you've created and you've built on. So therefore, whenever you make a decision, consider those things around. Not ask yourself, am I happy, but is my community flourishing? My community in terms of my purpose, financial security, family, friends, romantic, diet, exercise, and sleep.
Well, there we go. Those eight pillars, we got to write that stuff down.
Can I say a quick thing about that ChatGPT thing? Because it plays a huge role in my career as a writer. And as a journalist, I've had to use the tool, and I'm using it for so many things, and it's just amazing. It's unbelievable. And that guilt is there. So now we're at the point as creatives and as writers of getting together and saying, okay, what is the limit? How far do we use this tool, et cetera? But the other day I was thinking, you know, when Google first came out, we felt like we were cheating when we looked things up.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we can't use
good
that
point.
At school, because now it's a tool. It makes you better. Mm. It doesn't dumb you down because you're not going to a library and reading physical words anymore. It's made us better. Look, before that, when traveling salesmen got their contacts and made their sales by walking from door to door and knocking on the door, all of a sudden they were presented with a phone book of so many phone numbers.
Right.
It was like a Google to them. They felt like they were cheating. Ah, but in my day as a salesman, we did it the hard way. We walked from door to door. What did it do? It improved their sales and improved their lives and improved the economy. That's the same as ChatGPT, and that's how we have to kind of get over the guilt of it. You can't feel guilty for using Google. You could even go as far as to say you're stupid if you don't use Google.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I mean, it just removes an extra thing that you don't want to have to feel guilty about, because there's enough shit in the world that people try to make you feel guilty about. Mm. And some of us end up falling for that and some not. But yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
this
tool.
This opens the door to cybernets taking over the world. Through
their, if they do a better job than what people are doing now, then they can go for it.
All right. So Doc, I mean, basically, you know, on Trevor's initial question about belief systems, whatever you're doing, as long as it's not causing harm or negative effects on your or other people's lives, then it's a good thing. Go with it, even if it is shadows on the cave wall.
Yeah, nobody has authority on the truth. Nobody knows the truth. We all believe our shadows. And if these shadows make you better with all these eight pillars, go for it, believe it, dive into it, immerse yourself in it.
Love it. Thank you. There's Dr. Hanan. Monday morning, it's going to be okay, as always. We'll see you next week, Doc.
See you next week. Bye, guys.
Awesome. There he is.
He's
a great resource. Huh?
He's so easy to speak to.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, like, I've been to therapy, and, like, at first it was very difficult to open up to people because it's like, oh, it's like a witch.
Me. Yeah.
You know? You can see inside me.
Especially you, though, because they might also be a fan, and you can't have a fan as a therapist.
Mm.
And people know your name. Like, well, you have to search high and low to find a therapist who's not a fan.
Yeah.
And then they're going to sit there and you're going to try and make them laugh because that's your coping mechanism. And then they're not going to get to solve your problem.
Yeah. They realized that at rehab, the rehab that actually did work, which was my third at Houghton House.
Yeah.
So a rule I had, because they realized that my coping mechanism is humor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't allowed to joke at all.
Oh, really?
Like I'd get like punished for joking. Like
Trevor, this isn't funny. Take this seriously.
Like, oh, are you joking?
Yeah.
And one more week at 80,000 rand.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I was punished.
Because otherwise he wouldn't have taken it seriously.
Yeah, I keep just evading. I just keep evading topics.
Mm.
You know, and people have different kind of coping mechanisms. They shut down, you know, like, fights with my wife, for example, you know, cause the only person I care enough to fight with.
Right.
It's, if I've caught her unawares, she's like a cat in the corner. She will come out, claws out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you just have to cover your face and your nuts long enough for her to calm down.
I mean, she has 5 weapons at that point. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
So not in a physical way, just the fight. I'm just explaining the fight. It will start out very hectic, and then after a while she's going to calm down, and then you can have the conversation.
Mm.
And then when we have the conversation, I realize 5 minutes in I was wrong and I need to apologize to her, and then it's over.
I just want to throw this in quickly before we take a break, because KB says last month I used ChatGPT to write a letter for my salary increase. Mm-hmm. I wanted, after disputing what was proposed, the money came in on Friday.
Lovely.
Wow.
Oh, KB.
Praise be. That's amazing.
Praise be to KP.
Hell yeah.
I wanted to ask Deanna with the writing. Okay.
Yeah.
With the writing.
Can we save this for just, no, because we got to take a break.
No. Are you asking or telling?
Well,
he's kind of telling.
Let me take a break and we'll come back to this. We'll save something for just now. All right. It's just after 7, cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.